This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I'm Big Papa Squid. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And her name is Allie, Siri, not Ali. So when she sends me text messages, that's how you pronounce it. It's Allie Mack, the leader, the founder of Allie's Army.
Wow.
That's so accurate. Yes, my everything says good morning, Ali, or Ali. I cannot get it to say Allie.
I see it now.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm walking. We're walking through the hood yesterday with pork chop and sprinkles, and it says, Ali sends a text message. And I'm like, who the is Ali?
I have lost food in a Taco Bell for them calling out an Ali.
No.
When it's really Ali. And an Ali was there and grabbed my food.
Well, wow. It's probably not the worst thing I've heard someone called. Michael, remember what the Chick-fil-A woman called me?
Oh, yeah, Bayou. Bayou. And this man, like, and what's funny is he didn't even realize it, Ali. I realized it. Because, I mean, obviously, he's not thinking somebody's calling me Bayou, but I'm sitting there, and I, like, nudged him. I'm like, yo, I think your order's ready. He's like, no, that's not, she's not talking to me. I was like, yeah. I was like, dude, you are Bayou in this equation.
That's pretty
you
bad.
You are Bayou. And when he goes, you mean Bo? She looked at him like, nah, I meant Bayou.
No, I meant it. You're saying it wrong.
Yeah. If she didn't work for the company that serves the Lord's chicken, I'd have had some choice words for her.
Hey.
Although, I did tell her it's Bo.
Yeah, can we just rewind like a matter of 60 seconds and you hit us with the rise and shine this morning? I thought you were going to say rise up. I was like, oh, he's on one this morning. The Falcons fandom coming through. But then we got the rise and shine, man. Is that feedback based? Is that just a feeling thing? What's going on there?
I don't know. I was sitting here literally like a minute and a half before we started, and I was like, you know,
just got his own.
I just thought rise and shine. Look, I'm going to tell you something. My creative juices are flowing, and I will tell you why. I don't know if the rise and shine will be something that I do from now on. Maybe I'll rotate it. You know, maybe I'll just switch it up a little bit and throw you off. I think I might like the wake up sounds angry sometimes, and I didn't want to sound angry. I wanted to sound excited. I wanted it to sound, you know, what is is it carpe diem is seize the day?
Sure.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel today. And I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Let me tell you why, Michael
P. Sure, let me know.
I got something I haven't gotten in months last night.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
Careful there.
Yes. Boy.
Yes. Uninterrupted sleep. You're right.
Oh.
Uninterrupted sleep.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what I got. Uninterrupted sleep. It's weird because poor Chop was a little early last night with her. I'm hungry. And so I said, I'm going to let her cry it out a little bit. And not long, but we gave her the bath. We swaddled her, gave her the bottle. I think my head hit pillow at like 9 o'clock.
There you go.
And knowing that I would be up at like, you know, midnight, right? So finally go to sleep. I put on the movie The Fighter, you know, Mark Wahlberg, which is a phenomenal movie. Christian Bale is absolutely one of his best roles ever. He's in that as his brother. And I wake up to my alarm.
There you go.
It's the first, and I'm like,
all right.
Now I'm panicked when I woke up. Did I sleep through the baby crying? Is the baby alive?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
What is going
on?
Was Pork Chop okay? I was panicked. So I, like, jumped. I heard it, and I hit snooze, and then I go, oh, you know, like, foul language comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Puff, and I'm, like, checking her.
You're like, did the baby monitor die? That's what
my
always thing was. Baby monitor die?
Dude, everything's fine. I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? I'm, something's wrong. I don't know. I got up, changed her diaper, needed it, fed her a bottle, which is good. She never cried. I was like, what is going, like, I was worried, Mike.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right to be worried. There are certain situations that definitely call for that. But, you know, look, I imagine my worry. My daughter didn't sleep through the night till 6 months old. Like, my worry when I'm like, oh, God, what happened? And then it's like, oh, she's all right. Yeah, she just decided tonight was the night after 6 months. So, yeah, I know we got to get the Falcon stuff, a lot of headlines. I will say, though, all apologies to Grant and to Bo. I took a massive step towards Husband of the Year last night.
What did you do?
Yeah, so I put both children to bed, and I just told my wife, you take a minute.
Brownie points.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? I tell Bo this all the time. Parenting is not a 50-50 proposition. It's not. It's never 50-50, man. It's, you know what? Sometimes I got 80, sometimes she's got 20. It's all about whose cup is full that day. And last night, my cup was empty. I was like, dude, you take your time. You've had a long day. I got this.
Did you just see her eyes light up?
Oh, dude. And I don't, like, at the time, she was like, oh, I don't know. That feels selfish. And then she ended up leaving and going to play Mahjong with the neighbors, which that's a whole other conversation. I don't even know what that even game even
that's
is.
Two but
I was about to say, Mahwadi?
Yeah. Yeah, it's two nights
two
in a row.
It's two nights in a row she's been on the streets.
Two different groups she's played Mahjong with two nights in a row. Two different groups.
You know, I'm
I don't even know what that game is, man.
I'm not in the business of calling out other people's spouses, but
look, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm Husband of the Year, H-O-T-Y. I'm going for Husband of the Year. Yeah,
all
apologies
I know is we better have some interrupted iRacing soon. That's all I'm saying, Lindsay. If you're listening, is Mike home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Allie, you know, I mean, me and Mike, was Grant okay yesterday? He kind of sent a tweet out that he had to come back to say, look, you know, he tweets about Chris Sale's velocity, and then he comes back. Look, I know it was his best start of the year. I was just saying.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what I saw that this morning, so I haven't gotten to talk to him about that quite yet. But I mean, obviously, yesterday was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, definitely and was. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But I read it and I was like, oh, Grant, okay, Mr. McCauley. But anyways, there was. Better, I felt like that the vibes were a little bit better at Flowery Branch yesterday, even though there was a fine levied, which we'll get to, that you know, $250,000 for the team and then $100,000 for Jeff Ulbrich for the Shador Sanders whateverness with the prank call. But you know, let's start with some good news. Drake London's 5th-year option is picked up. He's entering year 4. I wholeheartedly believe that they will try to renegotiate and extend him out before he ever plays on that 5th year, but that's just me. It could still happen, but no matter what, the Falcons have 2 more years of Drake London.
Yeah, and you know what's the thing? The first thing I thought of yesterday, and I know that we've got a lot of audio and cuts to get to from everybody up there in Flowery Branch visiting with the media, but first thing I thought of, and I'm curious if you thought the same way, I was like, shout out to Darnell Mooney for doing all the things – last year that people probably think of when they think of 8th overall wide receiver. Drake London's not the guy that's beat you over the top. He's not the fastest receiver in the room. He doesn't beat you downfield the way some of these guys that are taken in the top 10 do. And I feel like Drake London last year, Bo, was allowed to actually be Drake London. Like, he was allowed to actually settle into the role, the power slot role that you maybe expected from Kyle Pitts at a certain point, or maybe that, you know, he hasn't been allowed to play under different offenses. Last year was the year that Drake London finally kind of took hold of what exactly he's going to be in the NFL, and I feel like now that that has been exposed, he's allowed to kind of flourish and you know, play the way he wants to.
Yeah, the thing for me with Drake is he can do everything, and even without that speed, he can beat you over the top. It's just going to be more of a 50-50 ball, right? He can move into those areas. He's kind of a possession receiver that can sneakily stretch the field. And one thing he told us last year at training camp is one of his feels like his most underrated things is his quickness. He's not straight in speed, but he's quick. And that's that basketball, and that's why he's so good over the middle. And that's why he can extend plays because of his quickness and catch balls on the run and you know, some crossing routes, those kind of things. So I love that. And Zach Robinson, you know, he talked yesterday. Ike Hilliard talked yesterday. And Ike Hilliard kind of talked about how this team working more with Michael Penix and how guys like Drake and Darnell and maybe, you know, a Nick Nash comes in here, Kadarius Hodge, all these guys, Bijan, working more with a guy like Penix is only going to be good for everyone.
Well, it's awesome. You know, the confidence, the athletic arrogance, as one said, that I love that Mike has, it's, you know, it's infectious. You know, it goes throughout the building. Everybody's excited to get a full year with Mike and you know, look forward to see what's going to happen.
I don't know, dude. I feel like it needs to go on a T-shirt, you know? Athletic arrogance. Like, what a good line, dude. Like, that is so – I mean, if I'm Michael Penix right now, I'm calling whoever my merchandise rep is, and I'd be like, yo, it's go time. Athletic arrogance.
You can make a lot of money off that.
Dude, that's such a good one. Either that or, like, a shoulder tattoo.
I would need one that says cerebral arrogance.
Cerebral?
Yeah, cerebral arrogance.
The irony of that was just incredible.
that's for Ali's show recap. I got to give her some gold. The other thing that struck me is something that this radio show has been firmly entrenched in, and that is that there's no reason why Kirk Cousins can't be the backup this upcoming season. There's no reason why you have to get rid of Kirk Cousins just because, like many people – in this market, this the national media and on this radio station have said, and I always, well, you know, just because, and if that's your thing, or if you think for some reason that Zach Robinson having Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix in the same room somehow negatively affects Michael Penix or this team's where this going, Zach Robinson was like, look, we're comfortable with Kirk Cousins being here.
It's been fine. You know, we're obviously, you know, just getting back in the building. Kirk's been here, you know, a handful of days. And so, you know, for us, it's just we're just going back to work. And for Kirk, obviously, he's in a role that he, you know, ended the season in as a backup and would expect him to, you know, just like he did last year, just be there for Mike, be there for anybody on the offense. For me, when I'm up there installing, it's really not that much different. We had that same situation late in the season. Obviously, when we made the switch, everybody got on board with it then, and everybody's, you know, on board with it now, obviously. But Kirk's obviously valuable player to this offense, to this team, you know, and he's here. We're going to coach him just like we do every other player on the team. So I don't feel an awkwardness personally, you know, with me or the coaches, but you know, I understand he wants to go play somewhere, but shoot, we'll coach the guys that are here and expect Kirk to, you know, to give us the same thing back.
And I expect that that's going to be exactly the vibes we get, don't you? I mean, and you just hit on it. We've talked about that all along. Like, I don't think that there's any part of Kirk Cousins that go in there and make a fool of himself in a meeting room or, you know, take away from what Michael Penix is trying to do. And there's no risk of that, right? So I love hearing that from Zach Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just funny because they've said the same thing all along, and some of us have believed, and some of us have understood what it meant, and some of us know how locker rooms work, and then there's everybody else, Mike.
I love it, man. I love it.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
all of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.